I do hope Israel can do the right thing. Because if they can, you're talking about finally closing this bloody, tumultuous chapter in the history of the Middle East. And opening up a new chapter of peace and cooperation and economic development. Because that's what the Middle East is on the verge of, right? Like, it's the light at the end of the tunnel is there. You can see it. But will Israel be around to enjoy its place in the sun when that happens? I don't know. I hope they can do the right thing. I hope they can. But that's their choice. And it looks like they're going to make every wrong choice possible. I'll just leave that where it is. But now, we'll get into the final topic of today's episode, which is the other immigration crisis in the United States. Governor DeSantis has been... this time, Governor DeSantis is at the epicenter of all the action. Before, when it was the crisis at Eagle Pass, where thousands of people were coming across, and Texas was going through with Operation Lone Star, and they built their own border wall, it was Governor Greg Abbott who was at the seat, the hot seat, if you will, the epicenter of attention. Now it's Florida. Well, Texas to a lesser extent as well. They're still there. But now with the crisis in Haiti, we have a lot of people trying to come by boat to the United States, and the closest place is, well, the closest place for them would be to go to Puerto Rico, but they're not trying to go to Puerto Rico. They're trying to come to the mainland. And that means going to Florida, where Governor DeSantis has taken a similar hard line against illegal immigration that Governor Greg Abbott has, except he can't necessarily sit there and build a border wall along the entire coastline of the United States. So he has opted for a sort of administrative military wall. I say administrative and military because it's legal, and he's using sort of military, National Guard, what have you, Coast Guard. That's what I'm fucking looking for. The National Guard and the Coast Guard to patrol the waters around Florida, and using other policing agencies to do so, sort of directing the resources he has towards keeping illegal craft naval vessels from landing on the shores of the United States and bringing people into our country illegally through that means. Now, he put out an executive order to deploy the National Guard to patrol the southern coast for boats coming from Haiti, specifically, because that's the target area. And this is obviously in response to the collapse of the previous political order, and of any order, really, in Haiti. And there's lots of people trying to flee this island anywhere that they can. Some of them are probably trying to get into the into the DR, the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic says no. They built a wall, but they have a border with Haiti, so they can build a wall, but we can't build a wall to keep out the Caribbean. We can only build a wall to keep out the Mexicans. But no. Yeah, so these people are coming by boat. Some of them are looking to genuinely just try to escape. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to let them in, right? There's humanitarianism, but then there's sovereignty. And we as a sovereign nation have the right to say no to anybody trying to come into our country for whatever reason. Whether that's because they're escaping tyranny and oppression at home, or gang violence, the likes of which would make the cartels look innocent, or if that's just from our end and we just don't feel like taking anybody in. We are a sovereign nation. We have the right to say no. And DeSantis is very much on the side of no, you have to come here legally. And so he has deployed, again, the National Guard and the Coast Guard to patrol the coasts. And so far, they have stopped over 670 vessels carrying over 13,500 illegal aliens, according to Ron DeSantis. So 13,000 people aboard 670 various kinds of boats, it's not just like one type, have attempted and failed to cross over into the United States via Florida. They've been caught. Now, undoubtedly, hundreds, if not thousands, have made it past before, and there's probably 100 to 300. Based on the numbers that he's caught now, it's likely that 100 to 300 are probably getting through for these 13,000 that we've caught. But by catching them in the way that he has, before they get to the soil of the United States, they can't apply for asylum. Because you have to actually get to the soil of the country you're trying to apply for asylum for before you can apply. So in this sense, DeSantis actually has a more advantageous position than Governor Greg Abbott did. Florida has a slightly more advantageous position than Texas does, because with Florida, you can't walk to Florida unless you live in the United States. You can walk to Texas, and once you cross the U.S. Border, which is technically the Rio Grande River, so once you even get onto this side of the river, you're actually in the United States. Once you go halfway across the river, you're inside the United States. So technically, they can claim asylum, but they have to do so through a port of entry, when that's the problem, because, you know, that border bill that everyone was talking about, that no one's talking about now, you know, they quietly swept that under the rug. That border bill was going to have federal agents shipping these people from wherever they got caught to ports of entry where they could then apply for asylum instead of just deporting them. But with DeSantis and Florida being separated from the source of this immigration by water, by catching them out when they're out at sea, you can turn them over to the Coast Guard, and because they can't apply for asylum without reaching a port of entry and actually getting on to the soil of the United States, the Coast Guard has to send them back to where they came from, legally speaking. So DeSantis has actually weaponized the legal system against the advocates of illegal immigration in this way, and good on him for doing so. Very, very good. Just an example of how DeSantis is better suited to be a MAGA governor than, you know, a MAGA president, right? Everyone has their role in this, and it's not me demeaning him, it's not me insulting him. He is just a really good governor, and he should stay a governor of Florida, because who else is going to be doing this if he is not there? Like, just think about that. Who else is going to carry forward this agenda in Florida if he's not there? And you could probably list a number of people, but who would do it as good as DeSantis? Not many. So it's actually really advantageous for our country that he is the governor of Florida and not president, on track to be president. Because I wouldn't have thought to do it this way, but he did. And he and his advisory council, however they did it, they came up with a brilliant, ingenious strategy. Catch them when they're out at sea, turn them over to the Coast Guard, and make the Coast Guard, make the federal government do their fucking job and send these people back to where they came from. You know, it's a shame that we're in this position, but at the very least, we have some governors who are willing and able to do the right thing and are choosing to do the right thing. Because willing and able is one thing, but choosing to do the right thing is another. And they're choosing to do the right thing. They're choosing to defend their constituents. They're choosing to defend the sovereignty and integrity of this country. And for that, we owe them a debt of gratitude that not many of us could ever repay. I can't. But I can at least speak my gratitude. So, yeah. Yeah, this is actually really ingenious that he's doing it this way. And for all the immigrants that get through, they're being bussed. They're being bussed straight up to the sanctuary cities that claim to want them, which are now finding out that they don't actually want them. And somehow, some way, we found a way to turn the big cities red. Find a way to make Republicans out of all those Democrats. And this is it. Like, this is, what was I? There was something, right. I was actually supposed to talk about this in the segment about the shooting in Moscow. Because I was listening to some commentary from Brandon Tatum. And he talked about how this terrorist attack that happened in Russia, something similar is going to happen in the United States with all these illegal immigrants that are being allowed through. I mentioned very briefly in the rapid fire that our government is allowing illegal immigrants to have weapons. They're allowed to carry weapons, but not you. You dastardly citizen of this country, how dare you carry a weapon? And some of the people that DeSantis has been intercepting on the waves have been armed, right? So we're talking about foreigners who are here illegally, armed, at the same time that our government is trying to disarm the population. That's not a good combination. And I think Brandon Tatum is right. I mean, again, Russia is about as secure as they're going to be. They're partially on a wartime footing, and yet this kind of a crisis happened in their capital city. What do you think is capable of happening in the United States when our guard is way down deliberately because of our federal government keeping our borders open? And they've been open for years and millions, well over 10 million, depending on what number you're looking at. Millions of people have just been pouring across the border. We don't know where they're from. We don't know who they are. Donald Trump saying that they're from prisons and asylums. They're just being emptied out into our country, which is probably true in some cases. Why would you pay to keep an insane asylee? Why would you pay to keep a felon who's on death row? Well, you can, hey, look, go. You can take this trip to the United States. You're either going to die on the way there and not be our problem anymore, or you're going to settle down in Mexico and not be our problem anymore, or you can make it to the United States and not be our problem anymore. It's, you know, if you're a foreign country, that's just a layup. Get these people up out of here. But we have all these people who we can't account for. We don't know who they are. We don't know what their intentions are. They're being a drain on our system. And a lot of them are coming here and committing crimes. That's just an objective fact. It's not an issue of race. It's just an issue of they're coming here and committing crimes and making our neighborhoods unsafe. They're making our neighborhoods unsafe. And it's really coming to a head in a lot of these big cities. Again, I'm looking at Chicago and New York here. But when you look at it and when you see how these immigrants are being bused to these kinds of locations, when you combine the fact that these areas, these big cities, these sanctuary cities, are also anti-gun. You're not allowed to own a gun. They really don't want you owning a gun. They make it as hard as possible for you to own a gun in these places. You combine that with a high density of criminals imported into our country from overseas, and these criminals, these illegal immigrants, not all of them are criminals, but a lot of the illegal immigrants happen to be criminals or become criminals when they get here, they're allowed to get a gun. Look, what happened in Russia can happen in the United States, and it has the potential to be worse, because the Russians don't have an illegal immigration problem. They don't have 6, 7, 8, 9 million unaccounted for in their own country. And that's just counting the numbers from the past decade. They don't have that issue, right? We do. And that's deliberate on the part of our federal government. So what happened in Moscow could happen in the United States tenfold. And if you're talking about an organized group of criminals, which is likely be our own government, you're talking about the potential for multiple cities to be hit like this all at once, and in multiple locations inside of each cities, and we're just going to be overwhelmed. The law enforcement's overwhelmed. Defund the police. Oops, we need them. Terrorism. And with that bit of perspective that I thought was actually really a really useful addition to the conversation, the idea that what happened in Moscow can and likely will happen in the United States at some point in time. And if for no other reason than to bring up the fact that we are extremely vulnerable to what just happened to Russia. And while people and while our government's sitting there, while these Ukraine simps are sitting there gloating and celebrating and hooting and hollering, they don't realize that they're next. They are next because our government is complicit in the human trafficking of criminals into our country. We may very likely experience a similar attack on our country, but bigger than what happened in Moscow. And I think that that's a really important piece of information to sort of get across to you, my lovely listeners. We're more vulnerable than the Russians are to that because of our open border. And with that in mind, because it's not like this is the first time discussions of a potential terror attack on U.S. soil has been talked about. It's been talked about in almost every time you hear conversations about the open border. But with that in mind, I think it's also good for us, sort of just building on to that with my own two cents here, I think it's good for us to, you know, preemptively get into the habit, get into the mindset, so to speak, not just the habit, but to get into the mindset of pointing the finger at our own government. Because they're going to be the one, I talked about an organized criminal, a gang doing something, a terror group. Who is more organized and who is a bigger terrorist organization than our own federal government? Who funds, arms, and trains every terrorist group that you can name? From Al-Qaeda to ISIS. From the Mujahideen. To Al-Shabaab. They have their fingerprints on everything. They fund, arm, and train every terrorist group that you can and can't name. Which makes them the largest organized crime syndicate in history. The largest organized terror group in history is our own federal government. And they're letting in millions of foreigners into our country, and they're letting them have guns while they're trying to disarm us. The same terror attacks that they perpetrate on other countries, they could perpetrate here for the purposes of an election. They could do it here. And I think it's just going to be really good for us to preempt the gaslighting, the manipulation, the deflection that's going to come when this attack hits and they try to blame everyone except for themselves. I think it's going to be really good for us to get into the mindset that it was our government. It was you, Congress, you did this. You let this happen. You did this. You know, I think it's going to be really good for us to get into that mindset. Not, oh, the foreign invaders did it. Oh, the Chinese were funding and they were behind the whole thing. Oh, the Russians got revenge. No. Not, oh, the terrorists who Biden led across the border. The terrorists did it. No. Our government did it. The federal government did it. The Biden administration did it. The CIA did it. I think it's going to be really good and really useful for us to get into that mindset before this comes, so that when it comes, we can sort of preempt, again, the gaslighting, the manipulation, the deflection, the blame game that our government's going to play, where they point the finger at everyone but themselves and to try to throw us off of their scent, so that we don't realize that they're the ones who are responsible, when they are the ones who are responsible. Because when this happens, the left wing in this country, it's going to be 50-50 whether or not they can catch on. If we land on the 50 where they just go complete ignorant, where they just indulge in their ignorance for we're looking at a year to 2 years of them coming to every wrong conclusion possible before finally coming around to where the rest of us have been since the start. And you saw this with COVID. We saw this with Ukraine, but there is a chance that the left will be there with us when this time comes, and it's more likely that they'll be there with us and we can have a united front as Americans against the criminal activity of our own government if we preempt the manipulation by getting into the mindset that it was our government. Our government is planning a terror attack on these United States, just like 9/11, which only happened because of the deliberate and willful negligence of the FBI and the CIA. The people who flew planes were on the CIA's books. On the CIA's books. Entry-level CIA flew planes in the building. Oops. 9/11 was the greatest act of treason against the United States committed so far. And they got away with it. They think they can get away with it again. Don't let them this time. Don't let them this time. But Brandon Tatum is absolutely correct when he says that these people, that this attack on Moscow could and likely will happen in the United States. And we're looking at a situation, like I talk about American Revolution 2.0, American Revolution 2, Star Spangled Boogaloo. What we're witnessing right now with the mass invasion of our country of illegal immigrants and the arming of these people is our criminal government, our criminal federal government, is importing an army of foreign mercenaries to do battle against we, the American people. Just like the British government did when they hired the Hessians from Hesse Castle in Germany, the German mercenaries, to come fight us when we were technically still their own people. They hired mercenaries to come fight us. And now our government is trying to do something similar, except on a massive scale. And this attack, which may come, will probably be the grounds for legitimizing Donald Trump's campaign promise in the eyes of, you know, the other side of this aisle, the left-wingers, the moderates, who don't necessarily want to take too hard of a line on immigration, but they're on board closing the border now. But let this attack happen, they will be all aboard Trump's campaign promise of the largest domestic deportation operation in U.S. history. But that is a story for another day. We can hope and pray that our government isn't that treasonous, although I'd say that they are. But it's better to be prepared than not prepared. It's better to see these possibilities and take appropriate action to protect ourselves from what our government has. Our government has it out for us. I don't know what to tell you. They hate us. They hate us. They want to use our money to co-sign genocide. They want to use our money to go defend other people's interests around the world. They want to get us into every war, everywhere, all the time, anytime anything happens that they don't like. They don't care how many of us die in the process. They don't care that we can't make ends meet. They don't care that they've devalued our currency by 98%+ if starting in 1900. They don't care about us. They don't care about us. And I wouldn't put it past them that they got away with 9/11. I would not put it past them to try again, except going for the gold this time, since this is probably the last chance that they're going to have to defeat MAGA. Just like it's going to be likely our last chance to overthrow these people by anything resembling a peaceful manner. It's very much a total war between MAGA and the American Empire. This is the last chance that either side has to defeat the other. And so it's going to be crazy. It might get ugly. But my goodness, I hope we all stay safe. I hope you all stay safe. Godspeed, my lovely listeners. But that is all I have for you today. I do hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast on my geopolitical podcast. The world is changing. We may have just been given a advance warning in Moscow of what might happen in the United States. Keep your eyes peeled. But no matter how the world changes, we will have fun watching that change together. And I've been your host, Hyshawn Wade, and you've been listening to This Week in Geopolitics. So till we meet again next Monday, Servus.